You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Good Monday morning to you. Mike McNamara in for Monday edition of All Marine Radio. Hope you're having a good morning so far. Halfway through October. Yeah, getting there. I want to wish my cousin Patty. Yeah, my cousin Patty. She had knee replacement surgery. So hope she's doing all right. Patty listens on occasion. So, anyhow, big sports weekend for me. So we'll talk about that. Got to say happy birthday to the United States Navy. Yeah. United States Navy turns, 244 years old. Yeah. So congratulations to all you Navy people out there. God bless you. Our sister service. All right. Part of the Department of the Navy. There you go. Mac, you know the Marine Corps is part of the Department of the Navy, right? I do know that. Do you know what part of the department it is? No, what is it? It's the men's department. That's right. I've told this story before, but my son Patrick was working at FedEx before he joined the Marine Corps, and some motor transport, Lance Corporal had gotten out and was working there. And Patrick says, Dad, so we're standing there, and this woman comes in with a package, and then, you know, she's pulling her ID out, and she's got a military ID, a dependent ID, and, you know, the Lance Corporal says, the former Lance Corporal says, oh, you're a military dependent. She said, yeah, my husband's in the Navy, and he said, I used to be in the Marine Corps. And she said, well, you know, the Marine Corps is part of the Navy, the part of the Department of Navy, don't you? And he said, Patrick said, that it was such a dick move, but he said, I do. And he said, do you know which department it is? And he said, she said, no. He said, the men's department. I said, I don't think you dropped that on dependents. And he goes, you think? I'm like, that's too funny, though. Not the most common sense in the world. It's one of the reasons that we do love them, though. Yeah. It's one of the reasons we love them. Because they say ridiculous stuff. So, anyway. But you know what? It's the birthday of the United States Navy, so what the hell, right? Get the second half of that, all right? We'll get to that there in a little bit. So happy birthday to all you Navy people out there. And God bless you for what you do. I was getting dressed this morning. And I don't know why these things pop into my head, but this did. So I'm getting dressed. I throw on a pair of jeans, a t-shirt, and a new sweater that I have. Kind of not very much of a sweater, but it's kind of a long sleeve kind of a thing. Because it's cold in the morning now. And I thought, you know, since I was a little kid, I've been putting on jeans and a t-shirt. Now, for a lot of my life, I didn't get to do that. But, I mean, Levi Strauss, man, invented blue jeans. Yeah, denim blue jeans. And I've been wearing them my whole life. Yeah. And I don't know, I was putting on my t-shirt, and I thought, you know what, I've been doing this. Like, I'm still putting on jeans and a t-shirt. Strauss, man. What a visionary. My teams did well this weekend. Yankees are going to go back to New York City after splitting in Houston. They had a chance to go up 2-0 last night, but you know what? Houston's good. Pretty good baseball game last night. Justin Verlander and the Astros beat the Yankees in 11 innings, 3-2. So, but it was a great game. You know, and as long as you have a chance to win, you play the first 7 innings to give yourself a chance to win in the 8th and 9th. As long as you have a chance to win, you know, it is what it is. And so this is my opinion, and it makes me sad to say this, but, the series will go 7 games. And if the Yankees can't break serve, they obviously can't win. And breaking serve means they've got to beat either Justin Verlander or Gerrit Cole, who have been unbeatable most of the time, two of the best pitchers in baseball. So the Yankees have their work cut out for them if they're going to beat those two guys. They got to beat one of them, and they'll start 4 times in the series. They've got to beat them once to win 4-3. And then they've got to hold serve in all other cases. Notre Dame beat USC. I hate USC. I know that makes me not a nice human being, but for whatever reason, I've hated them since I was a kid. That's deep hate in me, you know. And I don't like hate them like, you know, want to do violence or anything like that. I just don't like them. You know, the whole USC thing to me is just, you know, in your face, arrogance, and it's kind of like elitist too. And that combination to me, go away. And then the 49ers. 49ers have a pretty good football team. But, you know, one of the things that now that I watch the NFL again, and I know that pisses Montana men off, but you know what? You know, I've watched 49ers my whole life. I put him on ice for 3 years, but I watch him now. From a development franchise point of view, the 49ers wrecked the Los Angeles Rams, who went to the Super Bowl last year yesterday. They wrecked them. And they did it with a defensive line that is just like off the hook. So I was thinking, why isn't that? So you could put not very good players behind a great defensive line. I mean, average, above average guys, not the best guys. And they don't have to be that good because your defensive line just annihilates everybody. And that's what the 49ers do. So I thought, why isn't that the business model? We start the whole team from the defensive line, which seems to be the smart thing to do. Because we can then get above average guys to play. Montana man. Hey, he's just called me a traitor. No, I'm trying to grow up. I'm not trying to hate as much. And it's hard. It's hard. But in terms of a business model, right? And then you don't have to score as many points on offense. So anyway, that thought went through my head. The Shepard Smith quit at Fox News. And I didn't really care for Shepard Smith because too much of his snarky ass personal opinions would get in the news. Right? And I didn't like that. And I don't like that when anybody does it. And if you're going to be snarky, then be snarky with everybody, Democrats, Republicans, and all of that. I just thought that when you watch the news, you know, I don't know. Maybe his show is not a news show. Maybe it's like Shepard Smith does commentary, but it's not advertised like that. You know, Fox News, blah, 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 with Shepard Smith. So is Shepard Smith a news reader? Is he a news presenter? What is he? How do you categorize that? And I didn't care for, I didn't watch his shit. I didn't listen to him because he's just in my opinion, just a snarky guy. And he's a snarky guy. Montana Man says it's natural to hate. I agree with that, but it's not good for you to hate too much. You have to balance your hate with love, right? Or else you become a crazy person that splits their time between Montana and Idaho. And you gotta be more than that. And it's okay to be occasionally crazy, but that's me. So I'm trying to be better. I'm giving the NFL a chance. Right? I'm giving the NFL a chance. So again, where do I go for news? The Associated Press. Download that app on your phone and you'll get news. If I watch news, I watch Brett Baer, and that's the only person I'll watch do the news. And then I read. So again, Shepard Smith, not so much. Right? And been around Fox News forever. And so he's evidently been negotiating his exit for a while. Last Friday, went down to post-traumatic winning for 1st Maintenance Battalion. It was awesome. A guy who was an officer, their battalion commander, Matt Hager, was our S4 Alpha in Afghanistan in 2010, 2011 with RCT-1. And Matt's an awesome dude. He's a North Dakota boy. We had mutual friends. I had heard about Matt Hager when I was living in North Dakota. A friend of mine named Mike Rarick, who's a baseball player, a left-handed pitcher. I got drafted by the Cardinals. And then listen to this shit. Pitches the University of North Dakota into the NCAA playoffs in whatever year. His shoulder's sore, though. I mean, bad sore. But he's a tough North Dakota kid, right? So he's going to pitch. They're going to the playoffs, right? And he's going to pitch. They tape his shoulder up for him to pitch. Now, mind you, I've been around baseball my whole fucking life. And I meet Mike because he comes to work for me when I'm running plate against sports. He walks in and says he's got his arm. Oh, no, his dad worked next door. Dad's a good dude, love baseball. And Mike comes in, and he goes, are you hiring people? And I said, yeah. And so we start talking baseball. And I'm like, you're hired, man. He's a great dude. We're still friends. We coached together. It was awesome. And so they tape his shoulder. And I looked at him. I said, dude, I've been around this thing, around baseball forever. And I've never heard of that. And you had been drafted? That guy's supposed to take care of you. Anyway, so Mike says, hey, I've got a buddy who's going to the Marine Corps. And he tells me about Matt Hager. Now, Matt and I meet in Afghanistan. And I don't know what they were talking. You know, North Dakota comes up. Look, there's 650,000 people that live in North Dakota. That's it. Right? I think there's more people in like a third of Orange County that live in North Dakota. So anyway, so when that comes up, your head snaps. You're from North Dakota. Where? Right? And you know all the cities. So he said, I'm from Fargo. I said, Fargo, that's a shithole. So anyway, so Matt's the battalion commander. And he had seen it already. And a good friend of his, who's the battalion commander at 2-5, had brought me down there. And he told me a story. He said, you know, Ike Moore doesn't get excited about shit. Okay? At the end of when you did it at the commander's course, at the end of it, I looked to say, so what'd you think? And he was out of his seat on his way to you. He said, he's the first person that reached you at the stage. He said, he doesn't do that for anybody. I said, well, hello. So anyway, so it was cool doing it. And so Matt did the introduction, and it was awesome. And it was awesome. And the Marines they were getting ready to swoop. Right, it was Columbus Day 72, so they had to go to this thing. But judging by the response, they loved it. So again, and for me, it's so much fun to do it and to talk to them when they come up and to hear that they've never seen anything like this and nobody ever told them they weren't going to go. You know, this. Do you think this would be appropriate for a youth group? I said, well, if you take all the profanity out of it, it would. And they start laughing. They're like, yeah, you're not afraid to let it rip, are you? I'm like, what? No. So, so this corporal asked me, yeah, I work with this youth group over in Yuma. They brought a company all the way over from Yuma. Now, First Maintenance Battalion, it's like Elmaco. It's like fabrication company. It's like, I mean, low density, but very, very critical needs in the Marine Corps. Like 11th Marines needs a part fabricated that's no longer being made. So they go to First Maintenance Battalion, and they have the draftsmen and the fabricators to go do this kind of shit. Yes, it's those people. They do like low density, high skill type of shit. So there's like a lot of smart Marines. So anyway, she said, I work with a youth group in Yuma. And like I said, they had brought this company over from Yuma. And she said, I'd love to do it. I said, I'll be there in a few weeks. She said, are you kidding me? She said, would you meet with them? I said, yeah, I'll meet with them. She said, and that would be awesome. I said, no, I mean, look, man, this is the best. It's the best. So I did that. And then, you know, what happens after that, as I get on this post-traumatic winning, like, high. And then because this is a dynamic target, the way I see it changes. And in particular, I had a conversation with somebody last week that pissed me the fuck off. And I got the proverbial pat on the fucking head. Oh, well, I think it's, you know, I think, though, what's required is more than a motivational speech. I'm like, oh, you think that's what it is? So then in my anger, in my hatred that Montana Man says is natural, which it is, I then said, you know what, I've got to find a way to better articulate the difference between, you know, what I do and what the DOD and the VA do, because it's not a fucking motivational speech. It's the truth, right? And then, but the other thing that you're doing is this. And so now, this is a task for everybody. I don't know that I've ever done this in the history of the program, but I am tasking you if you're listening right now. Okay? Yeah. Stand by. That means get your fucking pen and paper out. All right. So, here's the deal. I want to know from you if you think this makes sense. Okay? Here's the difference between what the DOD and the VA do, and I believe what post-traumatic winning is. Okay. The DA and the VA, they promote endurance. they'll call it resiliency, but they want to help you live with this burden, okay? Whether it's through medication or talk therapy or something, or being with a horse or being with a dog, you know, or jumping out of a plane, they want to help you cope with this this thing, okay? And so that's why it's doomed to failure. If that's as good as it gets, okay? If that's as good as it gets, then you're not going to change the suicide number. Suicide's more prevalent in our society. It's more acceptable, and it will then become more prevalent in the DOD and the VA, period. If all you can offer me is a path to endure it better, you know, then that's it. So if I were to, in my own life, if I taxi my plane and I get it to the runway and I take off, once I have these experiences, I'm doomed to fly below the clouds in this storm, right? That on any given day will be varying degrees of bad, not so bad, maybe okay, but it's never going to be clear skies, right? So again, it won't be clear skies. What I would tell you is that post-traumatic winning is transformative, okay? It transforms trauma into joy, okay? And maybe it doesn't transform trauma into joy. Maybe a better way to articulate that is joy will overwhelm your trauma, okay? And so you're the pilot, and you're in that fucking storm, and it's crashing. And then you go through post-traumatic winning. You learn about post-traumatic winning. And what happens is you find a place on that joystick that you didn't know existed, and you pull back on it. And the plane ascends, and it goes through the clouds and the weather, and you're then in the sunshine. Now, it's not like there's no weather up there, right? But you've transcended that shit that you used to know to a greater place. So that's the visual, right? That's what. So the DOD and the VA, they don't offer you that. They offer you endurance. The reason I brought my sister Peggy on this radio show was because of the experience I had with Luke Weichel and his mother Libby. Okay? Luke was the first person that I really did post-traumatic winning to. I had discovered this shit. Okay? And then and it was really the commandments that I had discovered. Now, there's a second part of that, and that's giving it to others. So I knew the truth. So Luke would drunk email me at night. I said his last name, I probably shouldn't have, but fuck it, I don't care enough. So, and again, he's doing fucking great. So Luke would drunk email me at night, you know, about friends that had screwed up shit going on to him, and I can't let this happen, and, you know, just the rambling, right, of us when, you know, when we're pissed off and we've been drinking. So I called him in late June, you know, like a year and a half ago. A year and a half ago would have been late May. So a year and 5 months ago, in late June. And so 4 months ago. So when I said, hey, dude, you need to stop drinking. And he said, I know. I said, no. I'm ordering you to stop drinking, right? Now, I'm not in the military, and neither is he. And you know what he said? Yes, sir. I said, and if you think I'm joking, you don't know me. I said, because if you don't, I'll come to Alabama. Do you understand me? And he said, yeah. I said, you're sure? And he said, yes, sir. I said, okay, you need to stop. So, and he did. And I called him on the 4th of July, and I said, hey, what are you doing today? And he said, you know, my fiancé and I, now his wife, we're going to go to the lake, and we're going to do this. And I said, are you going to drink? He said, no. And I said, all right, don't. Now, what happened to me was, that was good, right? But this is like normal leadership shit, right? Until the tsunami lady, Luke's mom, wrote me an email. Okay? And let me see if I can find it. The first email that Libby ever wrote me. I hope I can find it because I'm looking for her email. Through her email. And, okay, so anyway, here's what happened. So, what she said to me was, you don't understand what you've done for my family. Oh, she's listening. April 11th, 2018, to Live at Almarine Radio, subject Luke's email. This is Luke's mom. I listened to your Monday show this morning. When I heard you read the Marine's email about PTSD, I felt such a connection. Now I know it was my Luke's email. I want to add to Luke's gratitude. It has been and continues to be a long road home from Fallujah for Luke and many others. I believe your program is helping him more than any meds, liquor, or counseling ever did. God bless you and your crew, or I guess I should say your tribe. Love and prayers from a grateful mom, Libby. Now, I mean, so I'm just doing my shit, right? And all of a sudden that falls out of the sky. And then she wrote a subsequent one about he was acting different, and she asked him about, like, are you seeing a different therapist? Are you on a different medication? Like, what's going on with you? And that's how she found out about Almarine Radio. And so that experience and what it did to me, that the impact of what I was doing, is how the give part of, right? I can tell you that you're not going to get over it. I can tell you that you're going to, but again, that's just dealing with the shit, man. That's the truth. And you'll find comfort there. But that's not how you overwhelm trauma with joy. And so Libby taught me, it was the first experience I had. Then, and so after I had that experience, and it started happening to me more, I thought about my sister. And I thought, you know, Peggy's only endured the pain. Because she hasn't told her story, she hasn't felt the love of people that comes with sharing your pain and sharing your story and knowing that you're not alone and the inspiration that they get, right? And so that happened. And then that thing explodes into my email with everybody that reacted to that. And so you're seeing the power, right, of sharing your story. You're seeing the power of giving. And that's when that crystallized in my head. So to me, the difference, right, the transformation, right, and is part of just what happened, and I stumbled into it. Unwittingly stumbled into it. And so but to me, when I articulate post-traumatic winning, it is not a motivational speech. It's not a different way of looking at it. It is a transformational way of dealing with trauma in your life. You know, and maybe I should thank the person that patted me on the fucking head, but I was rip shit pissed about it.
Yeah, exactly.
And it happened to be a fucking chaplain. So anyway, like they know what the fuck. They're part of the problem, to be honest with you. So some of them are. Some of them are great. But they're part of the endurance side of it. Okay? We got to get to transformation. So now, think about this. And so the way that post-traumatic winning is or operates is it comes and tells you the truth. So we're going to eliminate ignorance, okay? Okay, so what does it sustain? How does it work? And the way that works is it folds in perfectly into your counseling program on a monthly basis. And its emphasis is you've got to be better at it. You've got to know them like a parent knows them, okay? Not like they work for you know them. You've got to know them like a loving parent knows them. And you've got to help them in their life like a parent would help a child, right? Like a parent would help somebody they love, not a child, okay? You have to unselfishly care about them. And if you'll do that, then there's no need for all this craziness. And you will knock that number down. Because the thing that you'll destroy is you'll destroy the isolation piece. You destroy the ignorance piece with the class, and you destroy the isolation piece with the counseling that emulates something that they come in the military looking for, which is being part of something great and being around people that give a shit and being around people that care about me. So, yeah, all that's been going on in my head since Friday, right? And I can't say thank you enough to the Marines and sailors, to Matt Hager, Sergeant Major, who was great, for the experience. I love doing post-traumatic winning. It is, as if you can't tell. And let me tell you, it is going to fucking be something. And it's going to be something big. And again, it's not based on the Marine Corps. Okay? The Marine Corps is an organization that struggles mightily, I might add. Okay? Right? What makes the Marine Corps great is Marines. The institution, good and bad. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. Right? But what is always great are Marines. And what is it about it that I love and that Marines love? That fucking chip on their shoulder. Right? Look at a bunch of Marines and say, yeah, you can't do that. Guess what's about to get done? I tell the story about we got told by different Army units in 2004, karma. Yeah, well, we don't go to karma unless it's a combat operation. Why not? Well, we just don't go there. It's kind of a bad place. Okay. All right. Got it. Certain parts of Ramadi, yeah, we don't go there. Really? Why not? Well, it's kind of a bad place, and, you know, it's just we've kind of drawn a line around it. Got it. So when we did RIP TOA, right, which is called Relief in Place Transfer Authority. So the relief in place happens first. Our units go there. They follow behind the unit you're replacing, in this case the 82nd Airborne units, right? And then as we learn more, they follow behind us, and then they leave. So now that's the relief in place. The transfer of authority means the commanding general now looks at Jim Mattis. You know, the guy's name was Major General Swanee. He was the 82nd Airborne guy, big guy from the South. And so Swanick, I think. Swanick is his name. He would come into chow hall via the exit, he and his sergeant major. So when we were turning over, he'd be in the chow hall, and the Army does weird shit, right? So, I mean, their customs and courtesies are different than ours. Maybe it's not. It's weird to us. So he would come in, big dude, right, really high leather boots on or really high, you know, desert boots on. And they would yell, everybody's sitting down, the chow hall's going, and then somebody would yell, at ease! Like, in the Marine Corps, like, we don't use that command. So everybody just freezes. All the Marines, like, freeze. And then he would say, carry on, in, right, in his southern way, carry on. So now more Marines are arriving every day. And then as they were, you know, we were there for about a month together. So then, like, in the last 2 weeks, right, the door would open, the exit door would open, he'd walk in, and someone would yell, at ease! And then you'd hear Marines go, carry on! It was hilarious. And then all these heads would snap around, like, who the fuck said that? Yeah, like being in, like, middle school again and being an asshole. So anyway, why am I telling you that story? I don't know. Fuck, I lost my train of thought. Riptoa. Oh, yeah, what makes the Marine Corps great? So at 2359, right, the Riptoa happens. At 000, right, General Mattis is in charge. All the Marines are in charge of all the battle spaces. Ba-boom, done. At 001, Marines were going into every place they got told not to go. They were in there. Firefights all over the place. Yeah, they were getting their shit on. And that's just the way, I mean, it's a cultural thing. It's like, yeah, the few, the proud, the Marines. Maybe you could be one of us. Maybe. Emphasis on the maybe. Probably can't, but. And the whole shit recruiters do. You know, guys walk in, they're all cocky. Yeah, probably not for us, bro. Go to one of these other dudes. What? What the hell is going on? So anyway, that's what makes Marines great, right? And so to me, the truth of post-traumatic winning comes from our culture. You combine that with this transformative part of it, which is you got to give it to somebody, though. If all you do is stow it and use it, that's wrong. That is wrong as wrong could be. Share our traumatic wisdom. And when you do that, you will change somebody's life and you'll change your own. So I'm stumbling in the dark, right? And so in January, I meet Josh Goldberg. And then he introduces me to Viktor Frankl. Like, I don't know shit about Viktor Frankl, right? Hey, Mac, do you know anything about Viktor Frankl? No, man. Who's he? Is he a hockey player from Russia? No, he's an Austrian, right, psychiatrist and neurologist. Oh, really? Is he writing? No, he's dead. Oh, okay. And so I learned about Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning, right, which talks about giving your suffering meaning, right? That man's true search in life is for meaning in his or her life. That's what the search is. And his is one of the three schools of Viennese psychiatry, Freud school, Adler school, and Frankl school. So now I start reading and groping about in logotherapy. And logotherapy and Frankl's experience in the concentration camps rejects Freud. In fact, I have this thing where he says, like, Freud did his research in a leather with customers on leather couches, you know, in downtown Vienna. I did mine in Auschwitz. I can tell you the way people behave, and they don't revert, as Freud said, to their animal instincts. We don't all become the same animals. We're all different. And we're different because we all choose. In all cases, we choose. And so the fundamental premise of post-traumatic winning and the transformative piece is you choose in all cases what you do. You can't choose what comes to you, but you choose how you respond to it. And in that choice, right, in that choice is your capability to transcend this stuff through unselfishly giving it to other people. So now I'm like, holy shit, man, I stumbled blindly into logotherapy. But now I've got to wrap post-traumatic winning with logotherapy to legitimize it, which is, I don't mind doing that, okay? But I'm kind of proud. Furness told me that the other day. He goes, dude, you groped your way into this. I said, easy with the groping term. So, anyway, I'm moderately fired up. I think Alex Hollings is joining us today. I haven't heard from him. So I should probably ping him to see what he's doing. He's supposed to call me. He's going to get his ass. He's going to get his wire brushed. Yeah, no kidding. So anyway, I just pinged him. Are you good for today? I want you to hear General Mattis was on Meet the Press. So that's about 19 minutes. I want you to hear that. And then I want to talk a little bit about Syria. Let me see if Alex is going to join us today. If he doesn't, and then tomorrow you're going to hear from a guy named Ted Stoddard. He wrote a book called Depot to Depot. He went from the Marine Corps to Home Depot. And we're going to talk to him. So you're going to meet him tomorrow? And then I don't know if you'll hear Grant Newsham this week. And it's possible, although I'm not sure. The how long does it type in? This is, I'm watching this as we speak on Messenger. Anyway, all right, so good morning to you. Time to start the program. The United States Marine Corps band makes it official. Get ready for post-traumatic winning to be a big thing. What version it is, that part, oh say does that, I love that part, in any version. Alright, it's dedicated to all the sailors that listen here. Happy birthday, thank you for taking us all the places that you take us. I've served with them aboard ship for a couple years at sea, and the Navy, an interesting organization. Right, but I would offer you this challenge, right? Should we go to war with China, right? You will bear the brunt of the fighting. You need to embrace discipline in your service. You need to stop trying to be the most advanced social experiment on the planet. You need to get back to what you've done historically for the nation. And in order to do that, you've got to have disciplined crews on Navy warships. So, happy birthday. You've got work to do. You can do it.
Our flag comes through to men. You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marine, then you really ought to get up. The only reason I stuck around that little paying outfit 40 years just for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marine. And the infantry got its name, infant soldier, infantry, young soldier. And I enjoyed being around them. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda any time you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, PFC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, time to check the weather. Alex Hollings is going to join us. Yeah, he's going to get wire. His ass going to get wire brushed. And he knows it, too. That's the best part of it. Yeah, I've been asking him to call me for like 2 weeks. He's too busy. Yeah, one of those guys. So, everybody got to pay. All right, currently sunny and 66 in Quantico. It is partly cloudy and 74 at Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. Soon to be the home of my oldest son. That's right. Sunny and 61, 29 Palms, clouds and 61 at, yikes, Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton. And then probably at the end of the program, when Alex and I are done, then what I'll do is I'll play the audio from General Mattis. So don't go anywhere. You'll hear him and make a few comments about Syria. I want you to hear General Berger this week, too. An interview he did, which is, I think, significant. Stupid stuff, right? Loading the weather tab in my browser is not giving me the sideways arrow so I could scroll to the other cities. Oh, but it did in a new window. Yeah, see how I do that? Dark cloudy 72 in Camp Smith in Hawaii. Dark cloudy and 75 in Okinawa with a couple of weather alerts. They've had some severe weather flooding in Japan, which is obviously touching Okinawa. So that going on out there. Dark cloudy or evening cloudy in 85 in Ramadi. So they've cooled off in Iraq. And in Afghanistan, they've cooled off as well even more than last week. Early evening, 72 degrees and clear in Lashkar Gah. At the home of, which is in Helmand, at the home of Almarine Radio, south central towards the Iranian border. The home of Almarine Radio to 65 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. Looking for high of 72 today, 81 tomorrow, and 81 on Wednesday. How about that? All right, I want to talk a little bit of, we're not going to take a break. We'll take a break in a few minutes. I want to talk a few news stories. Syria. The Syrian army moves to confront Turkish forces as the U.S. withdraws. That's kind of interesting. Isn't Russia playing Geppetto with both of them? No? Russia's on both sides? Well, that's interesting. So Russia, an ally of Syria, and a friend of Turkey. What? Right? Forces loyal to Syrian President Bashar Assad took up positions Monday in several key towns across northeastern Syria, state media and war monitoring groups reported, following a last-minute agreement with local Kurdish fighters to ward off a Turkish assault. So the United States steps away. Syria now steps in. Right, into this void created by the United States. So, yeah. The other story is, there's a story about Turkish-led forces film themselves executing a Kurdish captive in Syria. The video is one of a series of photographs and videos posted on Twitter accounts of Turkish-backed rebel groups and circulated by the U.S.-allied Syrian Democratic Forces that suggest some of the Syrian rebels participating in Turkey's offensive to capture territory in Syria may have committed war crimes. You know, it's interesting that that is articulated in that way, because that's the way they do it in that part of the world, right? Not too many organizations taking prisoners over there. So, it's a war crime. Yeah, right. Then the way they fight is a war crime? Yes. Okay, got it. Do they know that? They do, but they don't seem to care. Yeah, they really don't. They really don't seem to care. So, anyway, so that going on. So, Syria, what happens there? What happens there? All right. Let's see. The next story that I wanted to get to. The stories on websites that automatically roll and play audio drive me nuts. Top five stories in Early Bird. And Syria, you know, obviously dominating the news over the weekend. Not really anything new in Marine Corps Times on a Monday. Right? Nobody's working over the weekend. It's a three-day weekend. Come on. And a federal holiday today. Number one, U.S. leaves behind dozens of high-value ISIS detainees as Syria rolls through Turkey. So this is a big story. President tweeted earlier today about this, right? President tweeted saying, somebody will pick them up. It's going to be awesome. They'll probably pick them up. They'll probably pick up dozens of other guys too. So this is great. U.S. officials and national security experts warned thousands of ISIS prisoners could escape as a result of Turkish incursion into northern Syria. 5 days into the Turkish military operations, those realities are coming to life as reports stream in that hundreds of ISIS prisoners held up in Syrian Democratic Forces, makeshift prisons, and refugee camps are taking advantage of the chaos and breaking free. The New York Times reported that that U.S. forces could not transfer about five dozen high-value ISIS detainees before the Pentagon's decision to move U.S. forces out of the zone of Turkish military operations. In one incident, nearly 700 ISIS families escaped a camp run by U.S.-backed Kurdish forces, according to the New York Times. So, anyway, so now you're supplying ISIS with the manpower that they had taken off the battlefield by going back on, by putting them back on. Secretary of Defense was on TV yesterday, Mark Esper, headline. Esper says U.S. staying in Syria but withdrawing south of Turkish advance and deal in the works to have Russians protect the Kurds. Right? And as I said before, Russia is going to do what? So, well, that's awesome. We now put Russia in a greater position in the Middle East. Secretary of Defense is carrying out the orders from President Donald Trump to move U.S. forces in Syria south of Turkey's attack against the Kurds, but not leaving the conflict-racked country. I spoke with the president last night after discussions with the rest of the national security team. He directed me that we begin deliberate withdrawal of forces from northern Syria. Secretary of Defense Mark Esper told the CBS Sunday Morning Face the Nation show. Esper said that there is a deal in the works wherein Syrian and Russian-backed forces would provide protection for the Kurds. So the Syrian government, who systematically got after the Kurds, is now going to protect them. Strange bedfellows, right? General Mark Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, told reporters at the Pentagon on Friday that Turkey had the locations of U.S. forces down to explicit grid coordinate detail. With knowledge of the locations of U.S. forces, former U.S. Army Europe commander, retired Lieutenant General Mark Hertlig, tweeted that the positions of U.S. forces have been plugged into artillery fire control computers as no-fire areas, or NFAs. Hertlig tweeted that either Turkish artillery soldiers are incompetent, or this was a purposeful act to send a message to U.S. and SDF Kurds, Turkey fired on a NATO ally. The former American envoy to the anti-ISIS coalition, Brett McGurk, echoed those sentiments. Turkish forces have fired on a declared U.S. military outpost in northern Syria. Turkey knows all of our locations down to the precise grid coordinate. Nice. Congratulations. F-15s. Air defense systems, and thousands of U.S. troops heading to Saudi Arabia. So the Pentagon's sending Air Force F-15s, new air defense systems, and other assets, along with thousands of U.S. troops needed to operate and maintain them, to Saudi Arabia. This was approved by the king of Saudi Arabia, not his idiot son. Right? Number four. CID, Army type, investigating whether Army infantry officer called for mass murder and destruction amid racist anti-government Reddit's, I guess, posts, Army investigators had opened an inquiry into a reserve operations officer in connection with racist anti-government posts calling for extreme violence posted online, an Army Reserve spokesman told Military Times. You know what? That's just like stupid people doing stupid things. It's clickbait. So why that is in the top five story in Early Bird, beyond me. Number five, Raytheon United Technologies shareholders approved the deal. So anyway, business stuff. Syria, Turkey. Let me just read you some headlines. U.S. troops believe Turkey deliberately fired artillery at an American commando post and outpost in Syria. Next one. U.S. forces are still conducting ground and air patrols in Syria despite the Turkish incursion. I saw somebody that appeared on Fox News as an expert on the region. He said, look, this is the first of a series of steps, right? They came after the United States in northern Syria, right? The United States withdraws under pressure, right? Next, more pressure will be put in southern Syria and then on Iraq. Get ready for it. I thought it was kind of interesting. U.S. forces unharmed after coming under fire in Syria. Next one. European Council President urges Turkey to halt drilling. Turkey is evidently drilling illegally off the coast of Cyprus. Wow. Message to Turkey. France, Cyprus hold joint naval exercises. This is interesting. Retired Marine General John Allen. There is blood on Trump's hands for abandoning our Kurdish allies. The retired four-star Marine General on Sunday bluntly criticized President Donald Trump over the ongoing Turkish military offensive in northern Syria, saying there is blood on Trump's hands for abandoning our Kurdish allies. Where did he say that? And we need to get that. I believe General Allen believes it's his moral obligation to speak out against Donald Trump, who he considers incompetent. I'm trying to find where he said it. I will track that down and see if we can watch the whole thing so we get the full extent of his comments. Furious Republicans prepare to rebuke Trump on Syria. Trump, next line, that's from the Hill website. Next one. Why is Turkey a NATO ally? Good question. Next one. Kurds look to Syria for protection after U.S. pullout. Next one. Furious Republicans prepare to rebuke Trump on Syria. Next one. Trump defends Syria withdrawal amid reports of atrocities and ISIS supporters escaping. Next one from Reuters. Syrian troops enter northeastern town after deal with Kurdish forces, according to state media. Next headline. And final one before we get Alex Hollings on. President Erdogan sees no issues in Kobani after Syrian deployment, welcomes U.S. withdrawal. The other story it's kind of a weird story, and it didn't go very far because nobody believes it's true. Iran, two missiles hit an oil tanker off the Saudi coast. Not getting enough attention, are we? And so now there's evidently pictures of the damage. So anyway, all right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Alex Hollings will join us. And then don't go anywhere. At the end of Alex, you know, we'll come back and you'll hear former Defense Secretary, retired United States Marine Corps General Jim Mattis, who was on Meet the Press. So you'll hear his comments on Syria after Alex. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the group can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good.